KTOO Public Media would like to acknowledge the Flane AD and the Woosh Kitan of the Ak Kwan. We are on their ancestral homeland. Our broadcast studios are built on fill that was once tideland and part of what is called the Indian Village. We recognize those families who maintain smokehouses on the tidelands, park their boats in the harbor, and gather driftwood for fuel. The families of the Juneau Indian Village, like their ancestors, cherish and depend upon their immediate connection to the waterfront. We'd like to take a moment and say thank you to the individuals who helped us craft our daily land acknowledgement. Gunachish to Vera Starbird, who planted the idea of making it super place specific. Lillian Petershore, who created so much of the beautiful structure. Ishmael Hope, who gave additional ideas. And Ernestine Hayes, who gave feedback. We are grateful to everyone offering guidance as we grow as an organization.
Hanson Grass. Ka eat with the shu yi, we kashuk a yi tin. Jin kat ka ke jin ta khanakhaya ha ane kak gunish cheesh.
You're tuned in to Juneau Afternoon. I'm your host, Shelley Delaney, and my next guest will be this Friday's evening at Egan Speakers. Welcome Kate Troll and John Neary. Hello.
Hello, lovely to be here.
Yes, good to have you both. Would you please each introduce yourself to our listeners? Tell us a little bit about yourself. Kate, we'll start with you.
Okay, my name is Kate Troll, and by profession, I've been a natural resource manager and have worked over 22 years in climate, energy, and coastal management, timber-type policies. I also served on the Borough Assembly in Juneau, and then prior to that was on the Borough Assembly in Ketchikan. Related to the topic of renewable energy, I also served on the board of Renewable Energy Alaska Project for 6 years and currently serve on the board of Renewable Juneau.
Thank you, Kate. And now John.
Hey, John Neary here. And a lot of people know me as a long-term employee of the Forest Service in Juneau. I was a wilderness manager for many years and then the Glacier Visitor Center director for the last 6 years, advocating for all kinds of sustainable issues there at the Glacier. And now I'm a board member for Renewable Juneau, happy to still promote renewable energy use in Juneau.
All right. Thank you both so much for being on the show today. And John, I appreciate your Zoom background. Either that or they wouldn't let you out of the ice cave to come do the show today.
That's right. I love the ice.
Your talk this Friday is titled Making Juneau Alaska's Model City of Sustainability. You touched on it a little, but what got you each interested in sustainability as it relates to our city and borough? Kate, we'll start with you.
Okay, well, I think for many of your listeners, you know, climate change is an issue that's front and center for many of us. And what do we need to do to reduce our greenhouse gas emissions? And we have a great foundation to build on, and that is renewable energy, but there is a lot more that can be done. So certainly out of response to the climate challenge, I'm most interested in sustainability, but also because I know that clean energy and energy efficiency, those types of projects, they create jobs and economic growth in the community. So, you know, we can push for sustainability and economic prosperity at the same time.
John, do you have anything you'd like to add to that?
Well, I think that Kate said it really well. I just believe that as I've moved away from Forest Service, which gave me my platform to discuss the shrinking Mendenhall Glacier and what that really means, you know, it means a lot more than just the background of your pictures is changing. It really means it's a barometer of what's happening on Earth and to our atmosphere. And so I really wanted to emphasize that when I was at the glacier, and now that I'm at, you know, not at the glacier and I don't have that forum, I'm really quite happy to work with the city to push that forward as Kate described.
The vision that is described in the blurb for this talk is one of a Juneau where heat is provided by seawater, public transport is a fleet of electric buses, more people driving EVs, and even extends to the generators used by cruise ships and the local mines. It's an incredibly inspiring vision. So how do we make it happen?
Well, come to our talk on Friday night to find out. I don't want to say too much right here and now. But for your listening audience, please Google up Evening at Egan and register for this talk. It's absolutely free, and you can Zoom right in and learn about this very bold vision that John and I, as well as other board members of Renewable Juno, have put together. We think that Juno is ideally situated in the fact that we're the only major city that receives its primary electrical source as hydro energy. We have the iconic backdrop of the Mendenhall Glacier. We have one of the highest rates of electric vehicle adoption anywhere in the country. We're also the only place that has a federal facility that is carbon neutral. So we have a lot of great things going for us and to build on. But to get it to that next level, we have a lot of work to do. And that's what we'll kind of get into a bit in our talk. John, right. You want to add to it?
Yeah, and remember that this is a whole lot bigger than Renewable Juno. This is the City of Juno's Assembly who adopted in 2018 the Juno Renewable Energy Strategy, which says that 80% of our power in Juno by 2045 will come from renewable sources, which would be primarily hydroelectricity. So right now, we're only at 20%, and we've got a long way to go to reach that 80% goal.
What are the barriers to making Juno a model city for sustainability? What would opponents to these ideas argue?
Well, one of our barriers is not having enough hydropower right now. We're currently, with the Snettisham Dam and Dorothy Lake, we're pretty well maxed out to where we have some, the mines would like to have more energy, but we don't have enough to supply them and meet everybody else's needs. So that's one of our barriers. We have potential. We have sites around Juno that are very lucrative. We have a project right now, Sweetheart Lake, which has been approved by the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. It's all permitted, ready to go. So we do have opportunities to overcome these barriers as well, and we'll kind of get into a lot more detail in our talk.
Yeah, and another barrier would be just the low cost of fossil fuel right now. And yet what we've seen is that even with that low cost of fossil fuel, making a gallon of gas, as cheap as $2.50 a gallon, we still have seen really high adoption rates for electric vehicles in Juno, because the battery technology has improved to the point where you can have a 240-mile range on your vehicle in Juno, which is more than enough, as we know, and you're still going to save about $1,000 a year. So one of the things I love about what we're pushing here is you can look at this renewable energy question from whatever tribe you're from, whether it's the red tribe or the blue tribe, and find something really good to like about it. It could save your business bottom line or your personal account, or it could save the earth from, too warm greenhouse gases. And either way, it works.
Another thing that the blurb says is that we have all the elements for being Alaska's model city, Juno does, model city of sustainability, but no roadmap, and your talk will provide that crucial roadmap. Where are we on the roadmap?
We're at the start, really. When you think about the fact that in 2018, we passed that Juno Renewable Energy Strategy, the Assembly did. And then, there's one electric bus that's been purchased since then. But we have a whole fleet of buses to purchase. We have a high rate of adoption for electric vehicles in Juno, but we still have another 20,000 that we could replace. So we're at the beginning. We see the direction. And yeah, we still have a long way to go. We'd like to lay out what the map looks like a little bit more in our talk.
Right. For example, I don't think many of the listeners realize, people know that we have hydropower, but that's only providing about 20% of our energy source. Over 75% of our energy source comes from fossil fuels, and that's in heating buildings and residential and commercial. We've sort of guessed that, we have over 8,500 homes that could be using air source heat pumps instead of oil boilers. So there's a lots to do to try to reach that 80% goal by 2045. But so what we want to do in our talk is kind of drill down a little bit more into the primary opportunities to reach those goals.
Another one, for example, is space heating, which is something like 21% of energy consumption in Juneau to heat your home, to heat the businesses. And maybe you've heard about heat pumps and how efficient they are. And they use hydroelectricity for the most part. So if we can push more of those, as Renewable Juneau does, both through our partnership with the city in Alaska Heat Smart, which gives people an idea of how to use heat pumps in their homes effectively, or for low-income families, we have the Juneau Carbon Offset Fund, which for qualifying applicants will actually provide a free heat pump for their home. And so we are pushing that angle quite a bit. And again, like electric cars, there's been a lot of adoption of heat pumps that have the main reason is simply because they're cheaper, regardless of whether, the person is tuned in to the whole greenhouse gas emissions scenario.
Yeah, heat pumps are hot right now. Pardon the pun.
They sure
are. It's a good pun. No, we sort of estimate, the average homeowner can easily save up to about 60%, 60 to 70% on their home heating bills. With air source heat pumps.
Uh-huh. Has any part of your plan, your roadmap, your ideas been presented to or adopted by CBJ?
In the sense that the JRES, the Juneau Renewable Energy Strategy, contains a lot, if not all of these elements that we're going to discuss. And we're going to get a little bit more into some of those barriers, as Kate pointed it out. Like, we really want to push for more community planning, called integrated community planning, to really try to match the supply of a hydroelectric to the demand so that they get built in pace with one another, so that it's affordable for the community, and so that the community has a really strong voice in how they want to see this go. So we have this great plan on the shelf, but we have our utility saying they can't match it, they can't meet it with the current hydro situation. We want to make sure those two come together.
Anything to add to that?
And we'll talk about how to do that.
Okay, mm-hmm. Great. Has progress on this plan, this map, this vision, what you guys had in mind, what you're pushing for, has that been affected by the pandemic? Has it been delayed? Has potential funding dried up? Any problems with that?
Absolutely, with our Juneau Carbon Offset Fund, because people aren't traveling, and one of the main offsets that people were contributing to were to offset the cost of their plane travel, to Seattle or beyond. And so without that incentive, also, there's less driving going on. For example, people flying down to drive for whatever on the U.S. road system, another incentive for. So we would like to encourage people to look at the picture bigger and realize that we're all emitting carbon to the atmosphere in everything that we do, whether it's a plane or a car or just our home heating, and still offset that with us. And yet we don't have that regular flow into that fund. But the Board of Renewable Juneau has continued to meet. And if anything, the last year has invigorated us to do more and do it quicker because of the climate emergency we see happening around us. And, the pandemic has caused this economic crush. And we've got to think about what business looks like in the next decade.
And the positive side of sort of COVID and Renewable Juneau has been, the city looked at what can we do to help boost the local economy and create some jobs. And energy efficiency projects became part of that bond proposition that just passed. Because clean energy projects and energy efficiency tend to be job intensive, because you need to hire electricians, you got to hire plumbers, you got to get carpenters involved. So, we had a little opportunity here to try and get some of those projects off the back burner and out creating jobs for Juneau residents.
And yet another one, Shelley, is you probably noticed there's no cruise ships at the docks all summer. And that has given us pause to rethink the clean air that we saw downtown and what caused that this summer. Dock electrification has really become a big issue for people because they would love to see more clean air next summer, even when the cruise ships return.
All right. This is all super interesting stuff. And the talk is this Friday, 7 p.m. via Zoom. It's free, but registration is required. And you can find out more at uas.alaska.edu/EganLecture. Kate and John, is there anything else you'd like to add for our listeners today? John, I'll let you go first. And Kate gets the last word.
I would add that Renewable Juno is a nonprofit. We're all volunteers. We're all in it because we really believe in Juno. That's the bottom line for us, and we would love to see a prosperous and clean future for Juno's energy.
Okay.
And my last word is, please join us. Come and be inspired. Find out how all these pieces can fit together. And I think Juno, we could set the standard for the rest of the state. And we have a lot to be proud of. We have a lot of work to do. Join us. Come be inspired.
Thank you so much, Kate Troll, John Neary. I really appreciate you answering all my questions today.
Thanks for having us.
Take care.